Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and truth is our bitch on this show. Now, we have a one-man show that we are planning for later in the spring. We will let you know where, when, how, what, if, and all that. It will be, in many ways, it will be the next logical step of whatever the hell it is that I've been doing. You know, it's funny. People say, a lot of the stuff you've done, Phil, over the years, and if you listen to our podcast, for those of you who are new to our show, the best way to hear what our show's capabilities are is to listen to the podcast because, well, I mean, I could explain. Our present configuration is, you know. Nonetheless, listen to the podcast, and it gives you an idea as to the show truly at its best. And people say, well, okay, so you've been, like, acting, so why haven't you gone into TV or movies or anything like that? I don't know. To be honest with you, I really don't know. It's always been very non-traditional for me, and the way that I find my way into things is always kind of weird, you know, and I don't want to get into it. It always has to do with, you know, paying people off, drugs.
What?
I'm kidding, but our one-man show, I think, is an example of the absolute perfect encapsulation of everything that I've been doing for the last 40 years. And I can't think of a better way to cap, and I say cap in the positive sense, not put a bullet into it, but to cap off a career than what we're planning for you guys with our one-man show. So just keep that in mind. We will tell you when, how, and where. When the appropriate time arrives. In the meantime, enjoy our new website, rolling it out sometime in the next 12, 14 hours, you know. Our media accessible mobile. Our video cast will be mobile. Our audio will be mobile. I mean, we're just mobile, man. That's all I wanted. I wanted us to get out there and to move around a little bit, man. Not on a hover around. I want us moving in a convertible. And that's what we've got. Our website will become the web version of a nice, beautiful convertible jetting up the coast, not a hover-round.
Speaking of a hover-round, you think that lady with a big ass?
Do I think the lady with the big ass what?
Yes, complete the sentence.
If she's on a hover-round.
I don't know if she's on a hover-round. As a matter of fact, I think she was. I think I saw her on a hover-round. There's a woman, as long as you got us into this, Robert.
Yeah, you're going to talk about it anyway.
Well, that's true.
Yes, but we didn't want to get into the conversation about this woman by saying, do you think the lady with the big ass is on a hover-round? My God.
Well, Ms. Gray, I think it's a logical question.
There are a lot of women in our society with large rear ends as the result of people like you and Mr. Hendry encouraging women to eat and eat and eat until the rear end becomes unmanageable and in point of fact, becomes dangerous.
What do you mean, dangerous?
Did you see that woman trying to get into a shower?
You got a big butt like that.
Yeah, if you got a big butt, you probably would bust out the window, probably bust out the door. Or, I mean, they'd bust it out.
What do you mean, bust out the door?
The glass door in a shower. That lady's trying to get in. She bust out the glass door in a shower, probably take out a wall. And then when she gets out, bust out what's left of the door. Then she's trying to leave the bathroom. She busts out one side of the door going out. Breaks down a closet door. By the time she gets outside, she probably, you know, she got a carpentry bill.
Look, bud, you know, I don't know whether you're trying to be funny or not.
No, just you saw. Didn't you see?
Yes, I saw, and I saw her very gingerly. We're talking about, folks, a lady named Michelle Ruffinelli, a 39-year-old plus-size model living here in the grand city of Los Angeles. She's got the biggest hips in the world, is the way they put it. That's a very nice way of saying she's got the biggest ass in the history of man on this planet, looks like to me, according to the so-called World Record Academy.
The what?
The World Record Academy.
What's that?
What's that? It's the World Record Academy.
Yeah, but a guy, what happened to the Guinness record book?
The Guinness Book of Records is another one. I mean, the Guinness Book of Records is not... There's nothing official about it. Yes, they do keep records. But you could come up with your own Bud and Robert record book.
I'd want to do that. You'd have to keep track of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, but what I'm saying is there's nothing that says the Guinness Book of Records is the only record book that there can be for weird stuff. They've got all kinds of record books. This is called the World Record Academy.
And they have the world record for weird stuff, is the way you put it?
They have the, yeah, that's what I would call it. What else do you call the biggest ass on earth? Who, you know, who cares?
Yeah, they got like all kinds of records that they keep at the Guinness one, like, you know, the biggest ball of yarn they have.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I better not say, but the guy who has the biggest you-know-what.
Yeah, that guy got, all right. The point is, there's the Guinness Book of Records, there's all kinds of stuff. This is called the World Record Academy. According to them, this young lady, Michele Ruffinelli, 39 years of age, has the largest hips in the world. She weighs 420 pounds. She stands 5 feet 4 inches tall. She has hips with an 8-foot circumference, though her waist measurements are comparatively small, 40 inches.
Now, wait a minute. So her measurements are in inches until you get to her butt, and then it's in feet.
Yes.
Do you realize that's how my sister and I used to insult each other? We'd say, oh, you're 36, 24, 9 feet.
That's what you said to your sister?
That's what she said. She and I said to each other.
All right, so you basically are saying you both got big butts.
Yes. And for a woman to celebrate the fact that she's got an 8-foot wide ass, that sets women back for years. It just really does. It sets back women. It sets back what we've been trying to achieve. It sets back the liberation of women. It sets back suffrage.
Wait, hold on. What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking about setting back suffrage. What is that?
Voting.
Why do you call it suffrage?
That's just what they call it. What are you talking about, Margaret?
I'm saying, without these two idiots interrupting me, women have come a long way, and now all of a sudden we've got one with an 8-foot wide ass. What do we do with that? Where do we go with that? How do we sell that? You see what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, how do you sell that? I mean, Margaret, people are individuals, you know.
But if you say women have come a long way and so have their asses, people take that as a joke. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Women have come a long way and so has this woman's ass, you see. But it doesn't work if she's the only one. If we had a generation of women that have cast their fate to the wind and have said, you know something, this is a life goal. I'm going to have, I almost feel like crying. I'm going to have a butt so big that my husband has to bring in someone to remodel our bedroom to widen the doors. That's the butt that I dream of. That requires remodeling a third of the house.
Well, now, wait just a minute.
They didn't remodel the shower in that lady.
I don't care what they didn't or did do. Basically, that is a woman telling young men, go out and get an ass so big your husband has to kick in about $150,000 to remodel the upstairs.
You have an ass so big your husband's kicking in.
You know what? I haven't gotten up all through this show. I really got to go to the bathroom. Excuse me.
Well, she's right about that.
Yeah.
You got an ass so big your husband has to spend $150,000 remodeling the upstairs. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you saw her.
Well, I will tell my fine listeners, the lady doesn't look, it's, you know, she has her reasons. She's a model. She's a plus-size model. I don't know what woman out there needs to, oh, yeah, look, she's got an ass as big as mine. I need that bathrobe. I don't quite get that. But she did say, I love my shape. I see no reason to diet because I don't have health problems. She's talking to Barcroft Media TV. I like to tell people all the time I have a license to work with heavy equipment. That's her husband. That is Reggie Brooks. She said, big hips run in her family. Her hip size has increased with the birth of each of her 4 children. She is, and she was walking around. Now, they showed her in this video that we saw trying to get into the shower. It's a very gingerly movement.
What about, I better not say.
Yeah.
You better not say what?
Well, I mean,
what?
Well, how does she wipe?
How does she wipe?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question.
I guess she does.
Probably has somebody do it for her.
Does she have to hire somebody?
Did she have to hire somebody? Who are you going to hire to wipe your rear end?
If you got enough money, people will do it.
Let me ask you a question, bud. Could I pay you enough money to wipe my ass?
Yeah.
See, that's mental, okay?
Well, how much would you pay?
I'm not paying anybody, because I know how to do it myself. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Enough with the model with the big ass, okay? Get this story out of here. We got all kinds of other stuff here. Dwight Howard, is he going to be around L.A. much longer? I don't think so. Do I care? No, I don't. The Laker fans care. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. This cat, Shia LaBeouf, I know I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but you know what? That's what he gets for having the name Shia LaBeouf. He's dropping acid for his new movie. Maybe we'll all have to drop acid to go see it. And police have found some rather gruesome evidence in a missing baby case in Massachusetts. All of that coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. Shia.
Just very quickly, before we move on, Dr. Jim Sadler joining us here from San Diego on an interesting story here in the news. Dr. Sadler, I don't know if you saw this, the nuclear testing by North Korea targeting the United States.
I saw that, Phil. I think the North Koreans are within their rights to protect their country. I think that we have a tendency to get worked up over some things. I don't think we should get worked up.
We shouldn't get worked up by North Korea with a nuclear program whereby they are, just to taunt us, they are going to target us in their tests.
They're not going to fire. Nothing's going to land. I heard your suggestion. I think it's foolhardy.
My suggestion, folks, just in case you're probably wondering, was that the United States should say, now look, North Korea, here's how you do a rocket test.
This is a lot of bravado. No,
hold on. I mean, Doc, here's how you do a rocket, because you've been screwing up your rocket. Let us show you, here's how to do a rocket test. Now, we're going to fire a rocket from our country, and it's going to land 3 miles shy of the North Korean coastline.
And what is that going to get you other than it's going to make... It's going to make the North Koreans angry.
I'm really sorry.
But hold on. And then guess what? It makes the Chinese angry, too. Are you willing to risk that?
Are the North Koreans willing to risk making us angry? I guess they are, because when we get angry, I guess it doesn't scare anybody, does it? Thank God we've actually followed through on a couple of things in recent years with a little bit of military muscle. Otherwise, people would think we're the biggest freaking pansies the world has ever seen.
So you want to fire a rocket and scare the people of North Korea half to death?
No, I'm saying, you say to the North Koreans, here's how you do a rocket test, okay, North Korea? Now, we're going to fire one, and it's going to land about 3 miles shy of your coastline, and then we do it, and it lands where we said it. When we go, see, that's how you do it. See, you got to have the right targeting. You got to have the right stuff. You guys apparently don't know how to do it. If you want to fire a rocket at us, that's how you do it, you know?
Well, if you want to fire a rocket at America, they would say, ha, ha, ha. See, if I was North Korean, I would say, ha, ha, ha. You know, you missed us. You know, that's what I would say.
You'd say, ha, 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 you missed us.
Well, if you want to be childish about it, you know.
What do you mean, ha, ha, ha?
I mean, if Mr. Henry wanted to be childish and say, well, let's fire a rocket at North Korea and just barely miss them, I would say, as if I was Korean, okay, I'd say, ha, 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 you missed us.
Yeah, but you don't sound Korean, though.
Well, I'm not trying to literally...
But, Robert, he's saying that...
All right, okay, here, I'll be North Korean. Ha, 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 you're rich, I don't know how you do it.
That's not how you do Korean.
Never mind, Doctor, I get your point.
All right, so go ahead, you be the American, I'll be a Korean.
What do you mean, you be the American? All I'm saying is I'm firing a rocket, I'm saying, hey, Korea.
Yes.
All right, hi, I'm America.
Yes, I recognize you from your red, white, and blue whatever.
Thank you. My red, white, and blue hat?
Well, yeah.
Okay. We're going to do some rocket testing to show you how to...
Wait. Let's stop. Why do you think we need to know how?
Because your last few rocket tests suck. You look ridiculous, and your rockets don't come anywhere near where they're supposed to.
maybe that's the way we planned it.
Yeah, okay. But just in case you want to plan a good one...
Wait. How do you know we didn't plan it to be... See, okay, I don't want to do this anymore.
You don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, because Phil was making you look bad.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Okay, go back and do it.
What?
Go back and do it. I'll show you that I...
Okay, I'm going to fire a rocket and show you how to fire rockets.
How do you know we were doing it bad?
Because your rocket tests suck.
No, they're not, because where they landed and the way that we wanted to do it is the way we want... That's how it... Okay, forget it. All I'm saying, Phil...
Okay, you're the one that wanted to do this psychodrama thing.
I know, but... Sorry.
Are you crying?
Yeah, it's...
Vernon Dozier.
Yeah, Vernon.
Right there, did you hear that? He went into that wussed out. You need your bat back? If this is Dozier, I'm going to come out of my shorts. I swear to God... Yeah, it's Vernon Dozier. What about it? I swear to God, I'm going to come out of my shirt. I'm going to strip and find you.
That sounds like a Saturday night.
Yeah, no. I'm not... This not... I swear to God, I'll come out of my clothes and hunt you down like I am a... Like I'm just a wild thing out of the jungle. If this is Dozier. Is it Dozier?
Yes, this is Vernon Dozier.
I'm asking seriously now, okay?
I can tell you that it is.
I'm not asking you, Miss Dandry. I'm asking the individual on the other end of the line... Is it Dozier?
I'm telling you right now, Sadler, it's Vernon Dozier, and you sound like you need your
mommy.
Isn't that right?
Okay, great. I'm glad you do. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, I'll see you soon. I'll see you soon.
Ooh. Is he still there?
No, did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up.
Ooh.
Well, you know, Vernon, I mean, I'm not saying the guy's serious. Well, it sounded to me like he was angry.
Hey, that guy gets angry. You know why he's angry? Because I point out to him every time that I talk to him that he needs his mama. Because that's the way he sounds to me. Hold on, it's the door. Honey, you want to grab that? Hold on. Yeah, I'm coming. Who is it?
Pizza delivery.
What?
Pizza delivery.
I can't understand what you're saying. Could you speak up? It's late at night, and I don't open my door for any creeps. Why do you keep knocking?
I said it's a telegram.
Is it a telegram for a pizza? Is someone sending me a telegram to tell me I have a pizza?
Can you open the door up, please?
No, I'm not opening up until I know who you are.
Hey, Vernon!
My phone's making a little squeaky noise. Hold on.
Oh, that...
Well, yeah, you know.
You know something, man? These are the weirdest freaking people in the history of the world that we have on this show. I got guys that are beating each other up. This cat, Sadler, makes it all the way from San Diego to Glendale in 30 seconds and can't get through the front door of this jackass's house. Let me just conclude the thought. North Korea is targeting the United States with these tests. They're not actually launching rockets at the United States, but it is in their own little simple-minded way a provocation. And I gotta tell you, you know, you'd think that the North Koreans got better things to do than test out freaking rockets, man. The country doesn't work. The system of government they have, the way to support their people, the method they use to enhance the lives of their people, it doesn't work. Digging in the dirt for potatoes, starving, standing in line, this doesn't work. And you would think that once that weird Kim Jong-il, that guy was a weird, boy, what a weirdo, once he went, that somebody with their brains what's going on?
Yeah, I think I got, yeah. Hello? Yes, yeah, Dr. Sadler. Phil Hendry.
Dr. Sadler?
Yeah.
Well, okay, what happened?
Okay, I went over to his house. He called me all kinds of names. He said I was a mama's boy. I went to his house. I knocked on the door. I said, pizza delivery, he didn't fall for it. I said, telegram, he didn't fall for it.
I know, we heard most of that.
You heard it?
Yeah. All right, hold on for a minute so we can take a break. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier and Jim Sadler on what happened when You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about Korea, and now it's like a couple of kids fighting, and he sounds like he's about ready to start crying again. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. Here our final half hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Jim Sadler and Vernon Dozier talking about North Korea, the testing of the possible testing of nuclear rockets. But the bigger issue that we had happen here is that you, Dr. Sadler, got frustrated, hung the phone up, and drove to Mr. Dozier's house and tried to gain access, and you were not successful.
Oh, yeah, that is exactly right. He was not successful.
He's not talking to you. He's talking to me.
I was the one answering the door. And I'll tell you something else, Sadler. I'm home with my wife, and you scare her. You understand?
Excuse me. What do you mean I scare her?
You, when you're on the radio, every time she hears you, she's scared. And when she found out that you were coming over, I had to... Well, I'm not going to tell you, but I will tell you. I'll tell you right now. I had to pull I pulled a long gun out of the closet.
Yeah, I'll bet you pulled a long gun out of the closet.
Okay, fine. If you want to put it that way, yes, I do nightly.
Yeah, Mr. Hendry, I went to his home. He insulted me. He said that I was, that I wept, that I needed my mama. All the things you heard. I went to his home. I said pizza delivery. I said all of that. He would not let me in. All right.
Well, he's not supposed to let you in. I mean, your subterfuge, if you will, if you would, didn't work.
Yeah, your subterfuge didn't work, if you would or will.
Your subterfuge didn't work, if you would or will.
What?
All right, I'm going to hang up now because this is obviously very childish.
All right, I'm going to hang up now because I'll be hanging up.
Phil, it's what he's doing when he loses an argument. He does this all the time.
You know, Phil, this is what he does when he loses an argument. He does this all the time.
And with that speech impediment, Doc, you just can't rag on people very well, okay?
With that speech impediment, Doc, you can't rag on people very well, okay?
Okay, because I can do it. You know, I'm here all night.
All right, well, you lose, and Vernon wins. And thank you very much. Congratulations, Vernon, for winning.
Yeah, you lose, and Vernon wins.
Did you finally, you hung up on them? Why does it take you so long?
I thought that I was going to get some adult conversation out of them.
Well, you ought to know by now you ain't going to get no adult conversation out of that. And that one guy talking like he's all ferried up with a funny sounding voice.
Yeah, that's Dr. Jim Sadler, and he's weird.
No kidding. And now I know what's going on right now. Dozier's angry that I hung up on both of them. Is he calling back? Is that the line?
Hold on. Hello? Phil Hendry Show. Wait a second. No. Yeah. Maybe tomorrow. The website. People are calling about the website.
Find out what that... The hotline right there.
Hello. Phil Hendry Show. Yeah. It's 10:14.
Wait. Well, hold on for a minute. Why don't you answer the line I'm telling you to answer?
Because all these other lines are ringing.
Get the...
Hold on. Hello? Yeah. Mr. Dozier? Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Vernon.
All right. Yeah. Phil, it's Vernon Dozier.
Yeah.
All right, look, you hung up on him, but in hanging up on him, I didn't get the final say. You hung up on me, too. I should have the final say since I'm the one that won the overall, you know, face down with his jacked-up voice-sounding weird ass. That's a guy...
All right, I understand. I had him on the program. Actually, he called in. He wanted to refute what you were saying about... firing missiles at North Korea. And his point was he wanted to be more adult about it, and he thought you were being childish.
Yeah, well, see what that got you? Not only was I the more adult one, and he was the more childish one, but he couldn't even get in a good insult on me. He just started repeating what I was saying in that in that, you know, little fairy voice of his, and he's already got the half tongue. So there's nothing that guy can do or say that's ever going to put me down. And again, I'll say it, if you're listening right now, Dr. Sadler, and I know you are, I know full well you are, that's the part that I love about this. He's out there right now. He's sweating bullets. He's going home to his barbells and his little, you know, young wife. Well, I got a young wife too, my man.
Is that what this is between you? Both you guys have wives that are like 30 years younger than you?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not out there. That guy's lifting weights, sweating bullets, trying to look like, you know, Mickey Hargitay, like the second coming of any weird steroided weightlifter you can think of in Las Vegas. And I'm sitting here just living my life, and I got a beautiful young wife, okay? So, Sadler, if you got to lift weights to make up for the fact that you sound like you swallowed razor blades at a very early age, hey, you know, have at it, man.
Well, I don't think that's very kind.
Well, he wasn't very kind.
All right, I understand that, but that's a little cruel. All right, so did you get in your last word? Can we move on?
Well, so what, you're kicking me off the show?
We got nothing more to say about it. I've already moved on to it. I want to move on to this Shia LaBeouf guy and...
Who?
Get out of here, will you?
All right, listen.
All right, so congratulations, Vernon. And Dr. Sadler, if you are indeed out there sweating bullets, just take it easy. It's not worth it. I got a fear that he's going to find his way over to Vernon's house.
Yeah, I'll tell you, find his way over to Vernon Doza's house, man, try and do something serious.
Are you kidding me? You think he'd do?
You don't think he'd be dangerous, do you?
Dr. Sadler, I've often wondered about him. Of all of the people that have been on this show, that guy's got murder in his heart, I swear to God.
Why on earth would you say that?
Because there's something about the guy that's really... He's got a lot to prove. He's got way more to prove than any of these guys. He's got that funny sounding voice. He lifts weights. He's got this wife that's like 20, and she's like a Playboy bunny, and he's not happy. Shia LaBeouf admits to dropping acid for new movie. That's right, the same actor who rose to fame on Disney Channel's Even Stevens and in the Transformers film tells MTV News that he dropped acid in real life to prepare for his character's drug trip in the upcoming movie. By the way, I worked with another guy on that Even Stevens show. What was the name of that kid?
There's a kid who was in a pilot with you.
AJ? Oh, God, I forgot what the young man. Very nice guy. All right, so Shia LaBeouf dropped acid to prepare for his character's drug trip in the upcoming movie The Necessary Death of Charlie Countryman. Matthew McConaughey... Oh, this is some other thing that TV Guide has to drop in all these little headlines. If you're bored with the Shia LaBeouf story, here is Matthew McConaughey. He's really skinny. See other celebs who transform their bodies for movie roles. Anyway, LaBeouf says he did it because he had never done acid before and he was scared. He even videotaped himself while on the drug and sent the tape to his co-star, Evan Rachel Wood. Not like she's the expert on set. I'm just saying you reach out to friends and you sort of gauge where you're at. So I was sending tapes around. I'd get 50% from people. I'd get 50% from people, and that starts creeping me out, and I got really nervous. By the end, LaBeouf was spot on, according to Wood, but not because I'm wanting to be on drugs. I'm not trying to mess with the set or anything like that. It's really just fear that propels people. Well, whatever, man. However, when it came to showing up to the set under the influence, LaBeouf said he draws the line. You don't drop acid when you go to work. You don't take drugs and then go to... That's not what you do. He did this to research...
Well, what about you?
What about me?
Couldn't he have talked to you?
You know, Margaret, that's none of your business to bring any of that up.
Yeah, but she did, so you might as well comment.
I'm not commenting on anything. If he wants to talk to somebody who's actually dropped acid... there's plenty of people that could do that. You remember when you're good friends with the Fondas, aren't you?
Very good friends, yes.
All right. Didn't Peter Fonda take acid?
No comment, Phil. That's really not for your consumption.
But you're ready to start talking about me.
I simply said, why doesn't he talk to you? I didn't say what about.
All right. You know something, Margaret? You're full of it.
Excuse me, do you know who you're talking to?
Yes, I'm talking to the woman that says that she doesn't want to talk about Peter Fonda dropping acid, but she wants to say to me, well, why doesn't this guy talk to you? Peter Fonda dropped acid before he made that flick the trip. Am I right or am I wrong?
No comment.
Okay, that's a yes.
No, it's a no comment.
That's a yes. And also, you know, he dropped acid a bunch of other times, didn't he?
No comment. That's a yes.
That's right. That's a yes. Bunch of actors did back in those days. So anyway, however, when it comes time to show up on the set of The Influence, he draws the line. You don't show up wasted. You don't show up completely tripping on acid, but you're rooting for something and you're pushing yourself toward it. Everyone's got their own way. There you go. So what do you think of LaBeouf's acting preparation? I personally, it's breaking the law, technically, but whatever gets you to the place you got to be, I guess, without hurting other people, you know.
So you do encourage the breaking of the law when it comes to preparing for your acting parts?
No, I'm not encouraging at all. No, I'm not. They asked, what do you think of LaBeouf's acting preparation? I will say this. As an actor, he obviously wants to know what it is he's playing, and he wants to know it intimately, and he went about doing that. And, you know, I understand why LSD is illegal. I understand that, you know, LSD is a powerful drug and taken by the wrong person. In other words, if you have the wrong mindset, it can really harm you. It can really hurt people.
Didn't that lead, Diane... What's her name? You were saying she jumped, she thought she was Superwoman.
No. The story about that poor young lady, Diane Linkletter, Art Linkletter's daughter, and he was an old TV host, I don't think it's ever been really clear, but she did fall from a high window in West Hollywood from an apartment, and I don't think it was because she was on acid. In fact, I think that's been debunked. I don't think she was on any drugs at all. She might have been depressed. I think there had something to do with a boyfriend. I understand there was somebody in the apartment.
There was one other person in the apartment. The police interviewed that man. He's been completely cleared. I forget who it was. I think you're right. She was very troubled. But... that was a long time ago.
Well, but here's the thing. They used her death as a bit of propaganda about LSD. They tried to connect her death to LSD and as a way of saying to people, don't take it, this is what's going to happen to you. So, and it was not true. So I think that is equally damaging. Do I countenance breaking the law to prepare for an acting part? You know, it's up to you. Let me just say that. It's up to you. If you get caught and you go to jail... don't come crying to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, who's going to come crying to you, Phil?
I mean, me, the general public. You prepare for your acting job any way you want. But if you get busted, you can't turn around and start, you know, crying to the general public and saying, look what happened to me. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our final segment of the show tonight. And tomorrow morning when we arise here on the West Coast, a little bit sooner for you guys on the East Coast, we should have a brand spanking new, beautiful-looking website. We'll see. World-famous... Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
A pillow, a blanket, and baby wipes stained with blood were found in the bedroom of the one-year-old Massachusetts girl who died after she was allegedly assaulted by her Irish nanny, according to court documents filed by police. Ailing McCarthy Brady, already jailed on an assault charge, could be charged with murder in last week's death of a baby named Rayma Sabir, a Cambridge infant who was hospitalized with head injuries January 14th. Court documents filed Tuesday describe a gruesome scene inside the baby's bedroom, and a concerned neighbor hearing a child's urgent cries fall silent. Good God. An upstairs neighbor told police that on the day the baby was hospitalized, she heard the infant crying for almost an hour before it changed to extreme crying. The woman said she knocked on the front door of the apartment for about 90 seconds, timing the knocks in between the baby's gasping so it would be heard by someone inside. Her knocks went unanswered. Police said she told them she heard the baby cry for another 10 minutes. It started to slow and settle down before stopping completely. State police, who later searched the girl's room, found a bloody blanket and pillow in the crib and blood-stained baby wipes discarded in a diaper pail. Well, I don't mean to be, but I always ask this question, so I might as well ask it again. You got 10 minutes now that this baby is crying. Is there a police call in your future at all? You know, I mean, I don't mean to criticize. I realize that you're the neighbor and you're the witness, you know. But, I mean, you've got 10 minutes. You listen to this baby. Was there a cop on scene? You know, that's a long time for the kid to be alive. See, what happened was she heard the crying for an hour before it changed to extreme crying. She knocked on the front door for about 90 seconds. She heard the baby cry for another 10 minutes. So we've got an hour and 10 minutes there. I'm not saying that you immediately call the cops. I understand. We all hear babies crying. I hear babies crying sometimes, and I'd swear to God somebody's beating the hell out of them. But it's just some kid that's hungry. I hear stuff, you know, I hear women screaming. I hear babies crying. I hear dogs yelping. And you can go over to the house and find out what's going on, and it's a TV set. You know, you don't.
Yeah, but don't you ever want to call on the cops and everything?
No, man, I don't call the cops because it doesn't sound like anybody is in danger half the time to me. It sounds like it's just a bunch of a-holes having a fight or there's, you know, just some kid that's screaming. Some children will scream and cry and they're being obstinate or they're being, frankly, stubborn or spoiled. You can hear that. I will say this. I've called the cops before in different situations. You know, I know the sound of distress, and I know when somebody's being hurt. And if I'm prompted to go knock on a door, I'm going to call the cops. That's to me, that's the that's what you got to do. If you got to go over and knock on somebody's door and say, what the hell is going on in there? Call the cops. I'm not talking about somebody with loud music and you can't sleep. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're hearing someone being in distress, if you're hearing some crying, if you hear some kind of a distressed human being, whether it's a baby, an adult, or whoever, and it prompts you to go over and inquire, that also should prompt you to call the cops. Because what do you think you're going to do? You see what I'm saying? As much as you may think your knock on the door is going to be, you call the cops. In any event, having said what I said, her knocks went unanswered. Police said she told them she heard the baby cry for another 10 minutes. It could very well be that people are, maybe they don't trust their own judgment. Maybe they don't trust what they're hearing. Maybe they, you know, maybe they have a stop and a start. I don't know. State police later searched the room, found this bloody blanket and pillow. Dr. Alice Newton, a medical director of the child protection team, diagnosed Rima as a victim of abusive head trauma.
Jesus.
Injuries caused by violent shaking as well as impact of the head, either by directly striking the head or causing the head to strike another object or surface. Now, this woman's lawyer, this Brady, who could be charged with murder following completion of the autopsy, her lawyer did not immediately return a call. However, the attorney said her client had no role in the baby's death. The baby's parents, Nada Siddiqui and Samir Sabir, told police that Aisling had been their nanny for the last 6 months, caring for the baby while they worked. State police said in the court documents, Brady was also watching another infant the day this child was hospitalized because the baby's parents participated in a nanny share. The other infant wasn't harmed. Investigators who interviewed Brady said she told them the baby seemed her usual self while she played with her. She went on to describe a happy baby she sang to at lunch who suddenly slouched in her chair, her eyes half open after lunch. Man, some of the bullcrap people tell cops, it's beautiful. Some of the horse dung, and only the guy that's slinging this crap could possibly believe it. You know? You hear this stuff, and yeah, that's what... And what happened? I don't know. All of a sudden, she collapsed, And that's going to fly, huh? That you just don't know, and you think that's going to fly. Well, I don't believe, and the cop will say, I don't believe you. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't do anything, and I, you know, some of you guys, some of you killers, you psychopaths, whatever the hell you are, you better come up with something better. Cops are going to say, I don't believe you. I'm going to hold you, or at least I'm going to follow your ass around until you're ready to jump into a river. You're so freaking paranoid. And meantime, we're just going to pile the evidence up on your ass, and your stupid story is not working, man. It doesn't work. You know.
Well, that fact they're always got a boyfriend and stuff.
Yeah, the boyfriend. I mean, that's the standard route. Standard routine, man. The first guy they look at is the family member, you know. And I love it because it'll be, well, the police cleared the boyfriend. He had nothing to do with it. He had an airtight alibi. And then they go back, well, it turns out that he had a life insurance policy on her. It turns out that he had a, and then it turns out that they were having fights. And then it turns out that he caught her cheating. And then it turns out, well, he killed her. You know, so we'll be back with more from the Crime Files here of the Phil Hendry Show later on tonight, 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's produced by me, Phil Hendry, and my good, close personal friend, Dan Northcraft. And for all of your Phil Hendry needs, go to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you get a backstage pass. Allows you to watch our video cast each and every night, access over 5,000 hours of audio entertainment, going back over a decade in the Phil Hendry Show, and also, of course, our video archives, our daily podcast, and oh so oodles of much more. And keep an eye on the website, man, because sometime here during the middle of the night, it's going to magically change into, I don't know, like a mushroom or something. It's going to be cool. Until tonight at 10 Pacific, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.